Amen. Matthew chapter 7. And of course, Lord Jesus Christ, as he really gives this Sermon on the Mount, he's up on the mountaintop and he's gathered primarily his 12 disciples together. But if you've been in Israel or any of those trips, you'll know that the terrain of where they believe he gave the Sermon on the Mount, it's kind of like an amphitheatre. It kind of forms an amphitheatre. And undoubtedly, there would have been a crowd and they would have been listening on. And whilst he addresses primarily Christians in the Sermon on the Mount, he then becomes much more direct, and in verses 13 and 14, coming to the end of that great sermon, we read that he addresses the crowd and says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." A Muslim in Africa was converted to Jesus Christ, converted to Christianity. And of course, as Muslims, as Islam is, they were very militant against him. They came to him, they said, Why on earth have you become a Christian? Why on earth is it that you have turned your back on Islam and come to Jesus Christ? He said this. He said, "Suppose you're going down the road and you come to a fork in the road, and you don't know which way to go, which road to take. And at the two entrances of these two roads, there are two men sitting. One is dead, and one is alive." He said to them, "Which one would you ask to show you the way?" You know, the scriptures, the Bible, is full of incidents where individuals or even groups of people are brought to a crossroads moment in their lives, or brought to a fork on the road, and they have to choose one road or the other. As the people of God stood on the brink of the promised land, we read in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, Moses says to them, "That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." He's essentially saying, here is the choice of Canaan. Here is the choice of life. However, here is also the choice of death. Choose whichever path you want to go on. Again, as the people of God entered into the promised land, conquered much of that land, and then settled down in that land, Joshua, as he was on his deathbed, he gathers the people around together, and in Joshua 24, verse 15, we read, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." And he goes on to state, "But as for me and my house, my family, we will serve the Lord." And he's essentially saying again, choose who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the Canaanites that have occupied this land for decades, for centuries? Or are you going to follow after the Lord wholeheartedly? Again, Elijah, that well-known scene in Scripture, where he's on Mount Carmel, he has wrestled the prophets of Baal. He then challenges the people to choose a particular path. 1 Kings 18:21, "How long hold ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him." And he's essentially saying, if God is God, if he is the true God, if he is the everlasting God, then follow him. But if Baal is truly God, then follow him. Again, there is this crossroads, this fork, and they must choose one or the other. Jeremiah, preaching to a rebellious people of God. We read in Jeremiah 21, verse 8, "I have set before you the way of life and the way of death. Therefore, choose life." And here in Matthew chapter 7, again, I believe we have one of those fork in the road moments in Scripture. We have one of those crossroads moments where Jesus Christ gathers together a group of people, and it's as if he's echoing the words of Jeremiah. Death and life are set before you. Therefore, choose life. As he was speaking the Sermon on the Mount, he has been teaching many people various truths about Christian living. Just for example, Matthew chapter 5, you have the Beatitudes there and how the Christian really should live. There's a thought in Matthew chapter 6 about prayer. We looked at that in past weeks, the Lord's Prayer, how the Lord's people are to pray. But now in Matthew chapter 7, as he comes to the end of this sermon, this message really, he is now saying, look, it's D-Day, it's decision time. And here in this chapter, you'll find many allusions to two different ways of life or two different categories of individual found. For example, in verse 15 onwards, You read of those who bring forth good fruit in their lives, but also those who bring forth bad fruit. Verses 24 through 27, there are two builders, the parable of the two builders, and he sets before them the possibility of building your life on the rock or building your life upon the sand. And now here, in Matthew 7, before he gets to that, in verses 13 and 14, he sets before them a crossroads, as I've called it. Here he speaks of two gates. He speaks of the straight gate, or really the narrow gate, and he speaks of the wide gate. And he then states, look, depending on which gate you enter into will depend then upon which road you take, which avenue you're on. If you go through that straight gate, that narrow gate, you will end up on the narrow way. Alternatively, if you go through the wide gate, you'll end up on the broad way. And those two ways, those two patterns in life, they end up at two ultimately different destinations. One leads to life eternal, and sadly the other leads to destruction and ruin. And writing on this portion, John MacArthur writes this. He states, our lives are filled with decisions. What to wear, what to eat, where to go, what to do, what to say, what to buy, whom to marry, what career to embark upon, and so on. And he states, many decisions are insignificant. He states then, some decisions are more important. But in these verses, he states this, the most critical of all is our decision about Jesus Christ and his kingdom. It is this ultimate choice that determines our eternal destiny. And so tonight, I set before you this decision, this crossroads, this fork, as it were, on the road of life. There are two paths that are set before you. And my friend, depending on which path you decide to take, which gate you decide to enter, will have eternal consequences. If you choose to go through the narrow gate, you will end up in life eternal. But if you decide to go through the broad gate, the wide gate, and live the life of the broad way, which leads to destruction, that many are leading tonight, oh, what a terrible destiny awaits you. Christ is setting before you this evening a crossroads of eternal worth and weight. And so it is D-Day for you this evening. And so I want to think tonight about the crossroads of the cross. The crossroads of the cross. In this crossroads, the Lord Jesus speaks of three things. They're very simple. The first thing I think he speaks of here is that he speaks of access. Access. Verse 13, we read, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Now in this parable, really, in these verses, the Lord Jesus here, he is really making an allusion as to how someone would enter an ancient walled city. The thought here is of coming to a certain gate. You come to that gate, you will then take the path that is associated behind that gate, and eventually you will end up in the city. Here he speaks then of the gate. He's essentially saying this. He's saying that the gate is of utmost importance. It determines what way you will be on, what avenue you will take. And here he speaks of the narrow way, and he calls it a straight gate. And what he's saying really is this. If the person wanted to take the straight gate, going to this ancient city, this ancient walled city, they would come to this gate, and of course it would be narrow. It would be very, very difficult to get through. Alternatively, there was another gate that led to this city. It had a wide open pathway, an avenue behind it. But this wide gate, it was far easier to walk through. And of course, he was likening salvation here to these gates. He's essentially saying, look, I am the way. He is calling himself this straight gate. And he's saying all other ways, in other words, to get to heaven, they are like this wide, this broad gate. He's saying it's only through me, the straight gate, will you then be on the narrow way and then eventually lead to life eternal? And tonight, in terms of entrance to heaven, contrary to what many may say, There are not many ways. There are not even some ways. There is but one way. One way, God said, to get to heaven. And Jesus is the only way. Tonight at this crossroads, the first crossroads I present to you is this. It's a very simple one. Which gate are you currently going through? Are you going through that which is broad, that which is wide, that which looks easier than the straight one? Or are you going through the straight gate, this narrow gate? Oh, tonight, don't get confused, because the cross, it is wide enough for you to enter, but it is also narrow enough in the sense that it is only through the cross can you enter into heaven. It is only through the cross work of Jesus Christ. It is, and he is, the only way. Yes, this might be hard for you to accept. This might seem unfair. This is hard to be understood. Yet Jesus Christ, he is making it abundantly clear that the way to entrance into life, it is narrow. In actual fact, it is exclusive. Jesus said himself in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What's he saying? He's saying this. You want to enter into life eternal? You want to see the Father, behold the Father? Then it's only through me. Only through trusting in my atoning sacrifice. Prior to this, in John chapter 10, we read in verse 9, again the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here, and he states, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He makes it clear again. He is the door to heaven. It's only as you walk through him, as you walk through Jesus Christ, he is the open door, but it's only going through that door. We'll see you saved. The apostles, preaching before the Sanhedrin, who trusted in ritualistic religion, Judaism, after preaching in Christ as the chief cornerstone. We read in Acts 4, verse 12. Here's Peter and John. What do they say? They say, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none under name under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. And they make it clear that trusting in Judaism, trusting in ritualism, trusting in all of the rites and ceremonies of the law is not enough. In actual fact, it's too much. It's like going through the wide gate. They stated, there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Unlike many things in life, the door to heaven is one of those non-negotiables. It is not up for negotiation. It is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. I'm sure that many of you have gone to a football match or a rugby match. Maybe you've gone to watch Northern Ireland. Maybe it was Institute before the ground got tumbled. I don't know. But you'll know this. If you're going to go to a football match, or especially if you're a home fan, the way to get in is through the turnstile. You come to the turnstile, and it's this large metal thing. What do? You go through it. You present your ticket to the man, and he then lets you through. But you'll know this. You'll know that the turnstile, it's very, very narrow. There's a reason for that. The reason is so that you can't smuggle in anything that might you might be able to do damage with or throw onto the pitch or whatever. But you'll also know this. You'll know that most football grounds have a big, large gate, and it's only opened and closed for perhaps the away fans or even the players. This gate, it's much easier to enter, and many can go through at exactly the same time. Well, my friend, in terms of the turnstiles of heaven, it is for home fans only, in that sense. It is narrow in the sense that it is only as you're a home fan of Jesus Christ, and you go through the narrow turnstile of the cross, will you be saved? Gertrude Stein, the American writer, she owned two Picassos. Both of them were worth an absolute fortune. And she came to her friend one day and she said this. She said, if this house ever catches fire, and I can only take one picture with me that I own, it'd be those two. It'd be those two. See what she's saying? She would love to take both of them. But my friend, tonight, you cannot go through both gates. You cannot go through both turnstiles. It is either the straight gate or else it is the wide gate. So here the Lord Jesus Christ, in terms of his crossroads, he speaks firstly of access. I want you then to see secondly that he speaks of avenues. Avenues. Verse 13, we read that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And verse 14, we read narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. The Lord Jesus Christ, he, after speaking of access or gates, he then speaks of avenues or ways. And he brings the disciples, but also the onlookers listening on, to consider the truth that there are not only merely two gates in terms of going to heaven, but there are also two manners of living, or two different ways of living. There is the broad way and there is the narrow way. And he continues on in his allusion, his illustration to entrance into an ancient walled city. He's essentially saying as you go through the straight gate, the narrow gate, you'll then be met with a narrow path. It is a small path, and there is not much room for maneuver in this path. And there are not many people on this path. However, if you go through the wide gate, then of course that is followed by a wide path. And there are many on this wide path. There's plenty of room to maneuver. And this path would then eventually lead up to a location as well. The term broad here, it means spacious. In other words, as you through a spacious gate, you will then be confronted by a spacious path. And there will be many on this path. Verse 13 makes that clear. Many there be which go in thereat. It's easy, it's roomy, it's wide. However, the avenue or the path to heaven, it's described here as the narrow way. The term narrow in the original text has the idea of a grape press, the thought of being restricted. And what he's really saying is this. He's saying that the Lord's people are on the narrow way. And they lead a kind of a restricted life. Not in a bad sense, but nonetheless, their life, it is tempered. Their life, it is affected by something. There is something that is restricting how they live. But the broad road's not like that. The broad road, of course, is spacious, and many there will be on that path. There is absolutely no restrictions. There is plenty of room for maneuver. And again tonight, as I mentioned this morning, the path to heaven is not an easy road. It's hard going. It is a narrow, therefore, and a difficult path. You ask me, what does the broad road that leads to destruction look like tonight? I would say this. It is broad in the sense that anything goes. Of course, that's what life is presented to us like today in society, isn't it? You can be what you want, do what you want, believe what you want. You call the shots, you make the rules, you break the rules, and it doesn't matter whether you're sincere, insincere, religious, or irreligious, you can be whatever you like. The broad way is inclusive of all. All. And that is why, my friend, many are on this road, as Scripture here states. But of course, the narrow way is far more difficult. Whenever you become a Christian, whilst the Lord makes it very clear, his commandments are not grievous, yet in the same sense, they are for your good. Scripture prohibits you from doing certain things. Living for Jesus Christ, it does put prohibitions on your life, but it is for your good. For example, and this is just one example, there is the prohibition in terms of marriage. There is the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Scripture makes it very, very clear that is sin, that is transgression of the law. Why is it given? One of the reasons it is given is to preserve the family unit. And when you become a Christian, this is one of the ways in which you find you are seeking to be obedient to that. There are many other ways. You can think about lying, you can think about stealing. What did Jesus Christ say in Matthew chapter 3 to the Roman soldiers as they were inquiring of salvation, or John the Baptist rather, let him that stole steal no more. So when you come to Christ and your sin is dealt with, you then have a desire to live by the book, to live by the precepts and principles of Scripture. And so in that sense, it is the narrow way. Narrow in the sense that there is a narrowness as to your life. Why? Because Jesus Christ calls you to a life of holiness. What does Peter say in his book? Be ye holy as I am holy. You are to reflect the holiness of Jesus Christ. And as you come to Christ and walk with Christ and reflect his likeness, well then, you will find that that will have impingements upon how you live. And so tonight the question then is this. Perhaps you claim that you have entered through the straight gate. Can you say that you're truly walking the narrow way? Can you say tonight that you truly are seeking to live by the precepts of this book? Are you striving to enter, as Luke 13 puts it, verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. And the term strive, it means agonize. It has the idea of the athlete or of the wrestler in the Greek games. They train hard, they train long for the conflict. Strive, agonize, wrestle to enter into life. Can you say, Christian, that you're doing that? That yes, it might be difficult, it might be hard, but you know ultimately it's for your good. The Lord, he puts these prohibitions upon your life. Why? For your good. To preserve peace. But conversely, Proverbs 16, verse 25 reminds us that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The term death there, it's not speaking about man's ultimate destination. Speaking actually about the manner in which he lives his life. And what he's saying is this. If a man lives a kind of a life where he does what he pleases and he does what he likes, he says what he thinks, what he likes, when he likes, what's the end? What's the goal of that kind of a life? The ways of death. A ghostly, shallow, sinful life. So again, I ask you tonight. In fact, Jesus Christ asks you. Which avenue are you walking? The broad road, which is wide enough for anything? Or are you seeking to walk the narrow way? In Robert Frost's poem, The Road Not Taken, the last few lines say this, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. I took the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. My friend, if you ask any Christian here tonight in this meeting, they will say those words to you in a nutshell. I have took the road less traveled by. I have taken this narrow way. I am on the narrow way. I am walking the life of a pilgrim. And it's made all the difference in life. Never mind death and eternity. So Lord Jesus Christ here, he speaks of access and avenues. I then want you to see, lastly, that he speaks of areas. As he speaks of these crossroads, we read in verses 13 and 14, that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Christ is bringing this illustration to a close. Essentially says this, if you go through the narrow gate and walk that narrow path, you will end up at one destination. But if you go through the wide gate and walk that broad road, you will end up in another destination. He's essentially saying this to these individuals. If you choose the straight gate of me, you live a life of following me, being one of my followers, then you will end up in heaven. Verse 14, which leadeth unto life. However, if you choose the wide gate and you lead that life of being on the broad road, living how you want and so on, then you will end up in another destination. Verse 13, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. So he's setting before them really here two ultimate end destinations. The crossroads of two different ends in mind. Heaven or hell. Walking with Christ or walking without Christ. You see, what you do with Christ in life and how you live before Christ in life will impact how you leave this life. It will impact your death and eternity. Really, there are three crossroads here, but they're all intertwined into one. If you trust in Christ, and walk that obedient life. We're not saying perfect, but seek to walk with God. Be obedient to all that he requires of you. Try to live a godly and a life that is pleasing to the Lord. There is then the sure hope of heaven. It leads, this path, this avenue leads to life. However, you may choose the wide gate and the broad road here in life. And it does seem right and good and pleasurable to you. But oh my friend, it has eternal consequences. Because it leads to destruction. Which path then are you on? And tonight, which area will that path take you to? You think of being in an airport, and with this I'm finished. You know, if you've ever traveled in an airport, or that as you go through and you check your bags, your luggage, get through security and all of that, you'll end up in what's called the departure lounge. And if you have a long time, if you're one of those people who likes to get there, be there early and so on, you'll have a long time and you can sit around the departure lounge and you can go to the shops and have a cup of coffee. Do what you like. But what are you listening for? You're listening for the gate number that then will take you to the plane, which will take you to your ultimate destination. And you'll know if you've done this. I've done this once. You think you know that you're going to the right gate, but you come to the wrong gate, the wrong number. And you then, you can get through even the system, and you can even be on that channel. And I was on it once. You can be on that channel, and then and you can be on then the wrong plane, and then it will take you to the wrong destination. Tonight, Christ is setting before you two gates: the wide gate and the straight gate. And he's saying, if you choose the narrow one, if you choose the narrow one, you will take off into a trajectory that will change your life. And you will end up in the clouds with Jesus Christ. But oh my friend, you choose the wrong gate in that sense. Oh, what a terrible end you're going to meet. Choose life. Choose the straight gate. Choose to walk the narrow way. And end up in life eternal. The crossroads of the cross. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts this evening.